Title of my message this morning is Growing Pains. Growing Pains. And I got that title from the old show from the 80s with Kirk Cameron, Growing Pains. And basically, in the Christian life, in the life of a daughter or son, there are going to be some growing pains. There are going to be some things that you have to learn the hard way. There are going to be some things that you have to experience before you can lead. There are going to be some times where you need to be quiet and keep your mouth shut so that God can pour into you and teach you and fill you so that at a later date He can also use you to help other people. I've learned and still am learning what I'm going to be preaching and teaching you today is something that I'm really learning myself as a young man. Because I've come to understand that the power of God and the things that He wants to teach me are much more important than the type of sermon I preach, the type of life that I live ministerially. God wants to speak and wants to use me, and He wants to use me in His time. And it's very important for you to understand this morning that our flesh wants to get frustrated. Are you with me? Our flesh wants to get very frustrated because we know what, those of us that are saved, we know what God has done in us. We know that God has touched us, saved us, and God has given many of you visions. He's given many of you dreams. Maybe some of you young people, God has said, you know, you're going to do great things one day in this arena or that arena. But I tell you, then the enemy gets in the way and pride gets in the way, and we begin to try to do those things on our own. We begin to think, well, God, I'm saved, but now I'm ready to go. No, my friend, it's in God's time. It's in God's time. And God began to speak to me this morning on the way here about timing. He spoke to me about timing, but He also spoke to me about our decisions. Our decisions. You know, God may have chosen you. He may be calling you to do something outside of yourself, but you have to make a decision to be obedient to that call. You have to make a decision to be worthy of that call. And you say, what do you mean? Well, God's took me to Luke when the angel appeared to Mary. And God took me there, and He also showed me that the same angel went to Zacharias before to prophetically tell of the birth of John the Baptist. And you see, Zacharias did not receive the word of the Lord. And he was stricken and he became dumb. During the most powerful time, one of the most powerful times in history, this man of God, the high priest, had been stricken dumb. But you see, Mary, she didn't disagree with God. She just said, how? How? I've not known a man. How could I give birth? And what was his answer? The Holy Ghost. And God began to speak to me and said, when the angel appeared to Mary and said that you were highly favored, in some translations that means chosen. In some Bibles it says God has chosen to put His seed in you. And you see, when God chooses someone, when God has chosen you, that means there can't be a the chosen one without a choice. So that means God did not have to put that seed in Mary. Are you with me? He had a choice. That means there were others in the running. There were other candidates. Are you with me? But He chose Mary. Why did He choose Mary? One, because she was pure. He chose Mary because she was pure. There were others. And see, God, many people want to live their life in pity because of missed opportunities or sinful mistakes that they've made. And the truth of the matter is, there are, by staying pure and holy in the eyes of the Lord, there is a blessing that will come on you. And young people, hear me. There's some mistakes, yes, and you hear me preach grace. And just as Paul says here in Galatians chapter 4, you hear about grace, but understand there is still an anointing. There is still power and purity. Galatians chapter 4, growing pains. Growing pains. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. As long as the heir is like a child. You know, we just received the blessing of Abraham last week. We just talked about being an heir according to the promise. And then God, through Paul, explains to us that it's still a timing thing. We are all heirs according to the promise, but we must understand to enter into that kingdom, that heavenly realm, there is a timing thing at hand. Take Jesus Christ for example. Look there when he says, God hath anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He's anointed me. The word anointing there is the word krio, which means it comes from the root word there is chronos, which means a specified designated time. Are you with me? God had been sitting in the synagogues his whole life. Jesus Christ had been sitting there in his hometown of Nazareth his whole life, listening to other people preach. Are you with me? He never spoke a word. He listened as a child. He learned. And then he enters into his hometown. And you know it says that a prophet's not received in his hometown. But he went anyways, didn't he? That's what people always forget, that one point there. That it says, you know, a prophet's not welcome in his hometown. But Jesus went and spoke anyways. You know, we can let the world define us or we can let God define us. So Jesus comes there. And he says, he hath anointed me at this particular time, which means to rub and to smear with oil. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And see, there was a timing thing. It was a timing thing. It was his time. As a child, he kept quiet. But when it was his time, when he was to be the fulfillment of their hearing, he spoke out. And he taught them the word of God. And he spoke out that he was the fulfillment of prophecy. But you see, he waited all those years before he opened his mouth. See, the many times our own mouth keeps us from the blessing that God has for us. We're always wanting to run our mouth and talk, and God's moving, and if we'll just shut up and receive what God has for us, the big blessing is on the other end of this thing. Verse 3, so also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. Again, this goes back to legalism. We've been talking about this for a number of weeks. But when the time had fully come, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. We talked about that last week, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. You see, there's something about entering into that family of God. There's something about being a son or a daughter that transcends everything else. You think of your own children. I can remember my father always tells a story about me when I was little. When he preaches about Abba Father, he tells a story. We lived in a neighborhood where back when kids played in the neighborhood, you know, shot basketball, played football, did those types of things, played army, back when neighborhoods were safe. And we would play, and there one time a 7-year-old little boy rang our doorbell. I was out playing, and he said to my father, he said, I want some cookies. And Dad said, why should I give you a cookie? And he said, well, because your son said you would. Because I ate my fair share of cookies. But there's something about that. Some snotty-nosed kid, he probably wouldn't have cared 2 cents about giving a cookie or letting him in the house. But when he said your son said you would. There's something about when you pray to an Abba Father, and when you pray for healing, when you pray for your miracle, when you pray for this church, when you pray for that lost family member, when you pray, there's something, my friend, about when you say, Lord God, Abba, Father, Daddy God, heal me. But when you say, heal me in the name of your son, your son said you would. Your son said you'd do. There's power in that. Verse 8, formerly when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, that's good. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Observing special days, circumcision. We've talked about those types of things, that Paul was on the defensive, and we've said that for a number of weeks, that there was he was defending himself, he was defending history, he was defending the Spirit, he was defending Judeo-Christian belief. He was on the defensive. Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days, verse 10, and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I've wasted my efforts on you. You know, there's a time, there is a line that we can cross, John chapter 3. There is a line that we can cross, I believe, where there's no sermon, there's no spiritual prayer. There's a time where when we've gone so far that the Holy Spirit moves on. I believe that with all my heart. There's a time where once we've refused and refused and refused to do what God has asked us to do, that He will raise up someone else to do it. God has a plan for each and every person in this room. But God's will and His work is going to get done whether we are obedient or not, because He's God. If we are not obedient and we're not willing to do what He's asked us to do, my friend, He will raise up someone that'll be pure, someone that'll be obedient. Because, you know, it's this, you take Truth Tabernacle. I love being your pastor. I'm sure Pastor David loves being your worship pastor. But if we were to say, you know what, we're not going to live pure, we're not going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, we're not going to do, you know what, you wouldn't be left orphans. Because God has a destiny for this church. Do you understand that? That destiny is bigger than Ronnie Phillips Jr. That destiny is bigger than Pastor David. That destiny is bigger than any one person in this room. God has a destiny for this church. And if you don't believe that, my friend, then I wouldn't be here. Because God has placed this church here for a reason. And there is a time where everything will make sense, everything will be fulfilled. But right now, we're to wait and listen to God and serve and do the things He's asked us to do. Are you with me? Verse 12. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Paul was, he was blind, but he had conjunctivitis. Could you imagine having green gook around your eye? It was gross. Even though my illness was a trial to you, I mean, it was difficult to look at. Are you with me? He's trying to preach and witness, and they're grossed out by his appearance. You did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? Maybe you have been without joy for some time. What has happened to your joy? Paul said, you know, you didn't judge me by how I looked. Excuse me. Paul said, you didn't judge me by the way I looked. You treated me as a man of God, as an angel sent from God. You know, I'm tired of religion saying you've got to wear a suit, you've got to have your hair combed a certain way, you've got to sing this type of song. You know, God may use somebody with green gook around his eyes. God may use someone like Damon Thompson, amen, that wears blue jeans and blue jean shirts from head to toe and his hair is long. God will use anyone that will be pure and obedient. I would rather take someone that's pure and obedient rather than someone that's flashy and religious. Are you with me? What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. He says, what's happened to your joy? What's happened to that giving spirit? You would have done anything to see my eyes healed. You would have given me your own eyes. You had such a giving spirit. You were such a part. You were someone that wanted to see people healed, wanted to see people filled up, wanted to bless other people like those children blessed me this morning. You had the right spirit. You had joy. And what has happened? You were on the right road, but you're off base. You're off the beaten path. You've lost your focus. You're going back to observing special days. You've gone back to religion. When I've asked you to follow me, to bless the poor, to love God, I've told you that you're a son or a daughter. I've given you all these promises. And you've retreated back to religion. I can testify that if you would have done so, you'd have torn your eyes out. Verse 16, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? You see, we live in a day where pastors and pulpits are filled with people who are paid to make you feel good. They are paid to make you feel good, no matter how. If you live like hell and sin Monday through Saturday, they're going to get you pepped up and encouraged on Sunday, and then you'll go back Monday committing the same sins, fornicating, fooling around. And that's the society we live in. And in Revelation, it said it would be that way in the last days, where we have nothing but feel-good pulpits. You know, we've got to preach against sin. We've got to preach about the sanctification. We've got to preach about atonement, about how Jesus died. You know, some churches won't even preach about his death anymore because they feel like it's too graphic for children or teenagers when they're hearing worse on TV every day. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. These people want you to join their religion. They want you to join their club. They want you to join their group, but they want you to join for them. I'm on a mission from the Son of God. And I'm on a mission for him, but there, Paul says, they're on a mission for you. They want you, and they want to benefit and feel good about themselves. It is fine to be zealous provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. I am grieved about you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I'm going to ask you right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring joy into this room. Lord, bring joy unspeakable. Father, there are people in here that are hurting that came in this morning that haven't had joy in weeks or months. Lord, they're hurting. And Lord, they need to receive joy. They need to receive joy that only you can give by your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me, Lord. I pray that you'd heal every broken heart in this room. Lord, I pray that this church, and I speak that this church, this temple, this tabernacle that you've built, where you've built it, Lord, I pray that they would never become religious. Lord, that this church will never be a religious church. Lord, this church will never be easily defined by man. Lord, that this church will only be defined by the power of your Spirit. Lord, that this will be a biblical church, but Lord, it'll be a church that lives and acts and breathes and doesn't just read the pages Lord, just doesn't read the pages and get taught 4 points in a poem. Lord, I pray that this church would be a church, Father, that the word comes alive in their actions, in their beliefs, in the way they live from Monday through Sunday. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to quickly give you some points this morning if you have your printout. First point to you this morning is to embrace the growth process. Embrace the growth process. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. First thing I'd like to tell you this morning is to serve under authority. In your job, in your school, in your place of business, wherever it may be, you need to serve under authority. You say, well, God's called me to be the pastor. Well, God may have called you to be a pastor one day, or God may have called you to own your own business one day. But the most stupid and foolish thing you could ever do, and the truth is it happens a lot, is someone that's been called in business will say, well, I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to start a business. Now, I can understand that if you've built up enough money to step out on faith by working. But if you don't have any money or a job, how are you going to start a business? Are you with me? And the truth is, in ministry, if God's called you to be a pastor, if he's called you to preach, I don't know about you, but most churches, and even me, when I'm referring a youth pastor or student pastor to a church, I'm not going to call someone that hasn't sat under somebody, a man of God that can say, you know what, I believe in this particular person. Because I want someone that's under authority. I won't refer anyone to a church as a student pastor or anything if I don't know that they'll support their pastor. Some of the most gifted and anointed people in business, in ministry, in all of the world, they're so gifted, but they are such jerks. You can't get along with them. You can't stand to be around them. And the sad truth is God has gifted some people who have horrible attitudes, and God can't bless them because of their attitude. Because they're not willing to serve under authority. Students, it's the same thing. You don't like your teacher at school. You don't like your coach. That's where God has placed you, and you're to obey your teacher. You're to obey your coach. And if God wants to bless you, he'll send you a new coach, or he'll help you to rise above that person that's in your way. There may be a lesson or two that God wants to teach you during this season of your life. So embrace the growth process. Next, serve under authority. Serve in the arena God has put you in. Serve in the arena God has put you in. So many people want to jump from job to job, church to church, class to class, recreational park to recreational park, that they never stay in one place long enough to truly hear from God. Pastor David, I know you know some ministers this way, that they, and no offense, Pastor David, but worship pastors are usually the worst. They survive about 4 years at churches because they come in and they do an awesome job and they grow frustrated and they go and may move to the next big thing. And we're seeing this with pastors now too. And some of that is because of dead religion. Some of it's because of people. And some of it's because of our own impatience. We're impatient. We say, God, I want you to move, and I want you to move now, and if you don't move between this particular time and this particular time, I'm moving on. But I want to encourage you to serve under authority, but also serve in the arena that God has placed you in. I tell people all the time, I've had people come up and cry and weep and that are facing a jail sentence. They're going to jail for whatever reason. And they'll come and they'll say, Pastor Ronnie, I want you to pray that I've got court in a week and just pray that I won't have to go to jail. Or Ronnie, will you pray? I'm so scared. But the truth is, God may want them in jail. And I've told some mothers and grandmothers that, and they've looked at me like I am absolutely nuts. But I do believe that there are punishments for crimes and that we have to pay our debt to society. I believe that. I do believe that with all my heart, that we have to pay our debt to society. But I tell you, once we've asked God to forgive us, I believe he forgives us. But you know, there may be someone in jail that if we send a saved person in there that reads their Bible every day, that doesn't talk like the rest of the people, that doesn't act like the rest of the people, that's not smuggling in drugs, you send a saved person in there that's recently been forgiven and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, then what can that person do? I tell you, they can lead 3 or 4 people. That's good harvest field right there in jail. You can lead 4 or 5 people to the Lord. You can begin to teach a class, a Bible study. I know a young man who was in jail for 23 years, and he ended up getting paroled in 6, but he led about 58 people to the Lord, and he was teaching the Bible every week for 4 years in jail. So many of you, you've prayed for your grandson or granddaughter or daughter or son that's on drugs, and you say, Lord, please don't let him go to jail. Maybe you need to start praying, Lord, just send him to jail. Lord, send him to jail. Get them filled with the Holy Ghost, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of prison ministries around. They'll get preached to and sang to. Because we need to begin to ask God what His will is. Because once your daughter or your son or your friend, they've turned their back on God and they've chosen to be disobedient. Proverbs calls it the reproofs of life. Sometimes we need to pray, God, let your will be done. Whatever you want to do, do it. And that's what I pray. I say, Lord, if it's a car wreck, Lord, if it's a prison sentence, Lord, if it's a bad dream, whatever you choose, Lord, to make yourself real to that person, your will be done. By any means necessary. Because I think of my friend that died of an accidental overdose 11 years ago. You know, right now, I wouldn't pray for him not to have gone to jail. I wouldn't pray for him to have just magically started coming. You know, whatever you need to do, Lord. Jail, rehab, losing a limb, just use him. But see, I don't get that chance, do I? Because he died. But we need to quit limiting God by our words and what we pray and what we say. And we need to just start worshiping God in spirit and truth and saying, Lord, you do and you have your way with this person. We take our hands off and we give them to you. And watch what God can do with that person. He'll amaze you. But we need to serve in the arena that God has placed us in. Next, we need to serve until it's our time. It may not be your time. It may not be your time. God may not be done teaching you or speaking to you. I know that I get this a lot. People that want to go into the ministry, and we've laughed about this before. But I say, are you nuts? Please don't, unless God's called you. And I know that there are people that get very fired up by a message, or they get very fired up by the praise and they come and they say they're called and they may be. But it's not their time. When it's your time in business, in life, in relationships, when it's your time to be blessed, when it's your time to receive the favor of God, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Nobody will be able to question it. When God puts that mantle on you, when He puts that anointing on you, my friend, hallelujah. There is no one that will be able. Now, people might try, but there will be no one that can stand in your way of what God wants to do with you. So I want you to embrace the growth process. Say, Lord, I'm not what I used to be, but I ain't what I'm going to be. And that's not good English, but that's good theology. Embrace the growth process. Next, embrace freedom. Verse 3, so also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, someone say, it's my time. God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. I have good news for you this morning. Jesus died for us. And He died so that we wouldn't have to live a legalistic religious life. He died for us so that we could be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He died so that we would be forgiven, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. He died so that we would have purpose and we would have destiny. And when we're sitting here talking about growing and we're sitting here talking about freedom, none of that's possible without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Without that, there is no freedom. Without that, there is no growth process. Without that, there is nothing, zero, zilcho. Because that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus is what religion could never be. He is pure love with no agenda. embrace freedom. Humanity in general couldn't think right, was enslaved to sin, was cursed and lost. Humanity was orphaned. It was without a father. But amen, through Jesus, God has given us the ability to think right. He has forgiven our sins. He has rescued us, given us a purpose. And now we have a father. You see, some of us have taken advantage of our father like the prodigal son. Some of us have been saved a long time. We've been forgiven a long time. We've known who our daddy is for a long time. But we've said, let me take everything that you have to offer and let me handle the rest. I take your son into my heart. I take your gifts that you've given me with, that you've birthed in me. I take all that, Lord, but I'm going to go do my own thing with them. Some of you need to run home like that prodigal did. You need to come to yourself, and hopefully you won't have to go to jail, or you won't have to be depressed, or you won't have to be alone to come to the end of yourself. But my friend, if that's what it takes to get you alone with Jesus, I say, God, go ahead and do it. Because there is nothing like really coming to know the love of Abba Father, of your daddy. So you need to embrace the growth process. You need to embrace freedom this morning. You need to embrace, number three, the fullness. That we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Hallelujah. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Whew. I thank God the Father. I thank God the Son. But I thank God for His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that impregnated Mary. The Holy Spirit that came upon her will come upon you in your time of need. You can ask Jesus, you can pray the sinner's prayer 38 times. But the only Jesus that we have access to right now is the Holy Spirit. And if you'll let Him touch you and fill you and put His arms around you and begin to speak to you and move with you, there's no love like it. There's no friend like it. There's no daddy like it. There's no joy like it. There's no mercy like it. There's nothing that compares to it. Religion can't sing about it. I can't read about it. You can only experience, my friend, and that is the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you've never received the Holy Ghost, my friend, just as Mary did, you need to receive the Holy Ghost. And it's not a mystical experience that ends in 30 minutes like it would if you smoked a joint or you took a pill. My friend, the Holy Spirit is something that never changes, that never dies, that never leaves. But you must be pure as like Mary was. You must be pure. You cannot be living like hell and living in sin and expect the Holy Spirit to touch you, endue you, clothe you, walk with you if you're living like hell. You can't come in here. You can throw your arms up, fall out, twist sideways, speak in tongues. My friend, if you're not living pure before God, I'm going to tell you, He will get you. He will get you. You might as well not even come to church if you're going to fake it. The full rights of sons. What rights do we have as sons? Number one is favor. When you're a son, you've been chosen. When you're a daughter, you've been chosen by God. Highly favored means chosen. You've been chosen, which means God could have done it with someone else, but because you've received His Spirit and you've received His power, He says, I have chosen you. I have chosen you to be my servant. I have chosen you for the blessing. I have chosen you to do something that I could have chose anybody to do, but I've set you apart because you've loved me, you've cherished me, and you've lived right. It's favor, it's prestige, it's the privilege. It's a privilege to serve God. Isn't it? It's a privilege to serve God. It is a privilege. And we should see it as a privilege. Favor also means wealth. People say, what do you mean? I didn't think that you were a prosperity gospel person. I'm not a prosperity gospel person, but I'm going to tell you. Whatever you need to get the work of God done, He will provide for you. And if you need wealth to get done what God has called you to do, what He has chosen you to do, then my friend, He'll fly it in. He'll drive it in. He'll open doors in your business. You'll be able to open more stores, more businesses. God will do it beyond the shadow of a doubt. And I believe it. But if you have to be pure, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to believe more than anything in this whole world. You have to believe in Him. And you can't be ashamed of it. Education and position. To have full rights of son, it meant favor, prestige, privilege, wealth, education, and position. It meant position. I wrote this down. You are not a son or daughter because you are an heir. You understand? You're not a son or a daughter because you are an heir, according to the promise. You are a son or a daughter because you have received and accepted. You see, I could have three sons, which I do. Three sons. And they're all my sons. They're not my sons because they're my heir. They're my sons because they're my sons. And I love them. One may serve and love me and be obedient. One may be wild as a buck. One may be challenged, but they're still my sons. Do you understand? And once you receive that sonship or that daughtership, once you've received that, then God will bless you. Do you understand that? God's love is not conditional based on your gifts, your labor, your future, or even your purpose within the kingdom. If you know Jesus, then you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And because of that, my friend, you are an heir to the throne, which means He's going to bless you in due season. He's going to bless you when it's your time. He will bless you. Number four, you must embrace the growth process. You must embrace freedom. You must embrace the fullness. Number four, you must embrace the future. You must embrace the future. Time has a way of making the past seem better than the present and better than the future, doesn't it? Remember when is the lowest form of conversation. It is. The time for remember when is when someone's fixing to die. If they're in cancer and they're having cancer and they're fixing to bring hospice in, talk about those times with grandpa that you had. Talk about those times with that person that you had that were of meaning. Remember when, that's when you pull those remember whens out, when someone's fixing to die, when they want to reflect. There's nothing wrong with the past. But my friend, we can't stay there. We can't live there. Remember when is the lowest form of conversation. It's not about how it used to be. It's not about what God did way back when. It's about what He's doing now and when we're going to get in on it and what He's going to do in the future and His triumphant return. If you read the Bible from beginning to end, you'll understand that yes, it speaks to now, it speaks to then, but most importantly, it speaks to the returning of His glory, His triumphant return. It closes with a promise, amen. We can't be so stuck looking back. And that's what Paul tells these Galatian believers. He says, you know, you've experienced Christ. You've heard the gospel of grace, justification through faith. You understand these core principles, but yet you're looking back. You're going back to your old ways, to your old religious junk. I want you to be free from that. My friend, you've got to embrace the future. You've got to embrace the future. And sometimes not knowing everything is a little uncomfortable. For all of us, isn't it? What God may want to do next week or next year or in the next 10 years. I heard Jensen Franklin's testimony about his church in Gainesville, and he was honoring the pastor who had been the pastor of that church before him. A lot of people don't know that there was actually a pastor there before Jensen because God has used Jensen in his time. Amen. It was his time. He was the one, and he was chosen. Because he was pure and he was obedient. But there was a man that had met, had started Free Chapel. Started in a one room. Eventually a skating rink. And there's probably a whole slew of people that they believed it. They may have saw it far off, but they had to serve right then. They had to give right in that moment. They had to believe God and the Holy Spirit and love the people around them. And they may never get to have seen it, but bless God. But we now, they have a $25 million building. And it's not about the size or the price of a building, but bless God, they're reaching thousands upon thousands of people around the world and in their community. Why? Because some people before Jensen Franklin, a pastor before him, was serving faithful and feeding the sheep and loving the sheep. And then in due season, in due time, God birthed what he wanted to birth. But see, God has to trust us, doesn't he? If God may want to do that right here in Stone Mountain. But God, I believe, is saying, do I have a faithful core that says no matter what, I'm at Truth Tabernacle of Praise? Do I have a faithful group that say, you know what, when all else fails, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to believe. I'm going to pray for my pastor. I'm going to pray for my leadership. No matter come hell or high water, come gossip, come whatever, I'm going to stay here not because of one person, but because of God. I'm here because God has called me here. I'm believing. I'm serving under authority because I'm believing for what God's going to do in the future. If we're frustrated about what God has or hasn't done, maybe it's because of our faith. In any situation, God wants to be able to trust us. He wants to make sure our foundation is solid as a rock so that he can build on top of that. I didn't plan to say that. I don't even know where that came from. But I'm just being obedient. Verse 8. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? And we've went over those. Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I've wasted my efforts on you. Quickly, some of you need to burn some bridges this morning. Some of you need to burn some bridges to the past. You need to burn some bridges to the past and say, you know, I'm not going back there. I'm not looking back there. I'm not remember when. I'm not looking at that any longer. I'm burning that bridge and I'm moving forward. Next, you need to embrace new challenges. New challenges. I believe that every church, every ministry, business that's anointed by God, if you stay still, that's the worst mistake you could make. Adopt this project. Adopt this family. Try something new. Always be moving. Always be thinking. Don't stay still or stagnant. Embrace new challenges. Next. Embrace new people. Embrace new people. There are some people that God has put in your life. I thank God since I got saved, man, I've got some Christian brothers and sisters in my life that I can share with, that I can cry with, that I can talk to, that I can love on. You know, and I didn't have that right when I got right with God. Are you with me? I didn't have that right when I got saved. Sometimes right when God touches you, you look around a few days later and you're like, but I tell you, over time, God has put people, every friend that I used to have that I no longer have, God has replaced those with godly friends, with people that love me, that pray for me, and God will do the same for you if you'll trust him and you'll love him. He'll put people in your life that he wants in your life that'll help you in your time of need. Need to embrace new people. Number 5, and I'll close with this, embrace your leaders. Embrace your leaders. Paul closes verse 12 through 16. He talks about how they once accepted him, but they no longer accept him. And he says, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? He reminds them of their relationship with each other, and I want to remind you of your relationship with each other this morning. Remember to love and pray for one another. Remember to be there for one another. Try not to judge one another. Don't get caught up in all the junk that religion will bring. Remember to pray for each other. Remember to love one another. Verse 16. have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? There are people in churches all over America that will befriend a pastor to get them to compromise the truth. That's true. There are pastors that are under a great deal of pressure, and they don't want to offend people because they're afraid of losing their check or they're afraid of losing their position. And people are so manipulative, and the devil is such a liar that he will work his way into a church through one person, one gossip, one lie, and he'll begin to sow discourse in that church. And before too long, you've got a core of people that are demonically led, controlling the pastor, controlling the church, controlling what he preaches, controlling the music that they sing, controlling everything that's done in the church, and death comes on it. I speak that that would never happen here. Under Roman law, an adopted child or a slave that had been adopted by a family could never be disowned. Because of Jesus Christ, we are adopted into a new family. And the Apostle Paul is telling us in Galatians chapter 4 that we can never be disowned. Isn't that good news? If you love Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what days you observe, what religious activities that you uphold, you can never be disowned. But my friend, once you know him, you need to know every bit of him. Know him as a daddy. Know him as a friend. Know him as a savior. Know him as the Holy Spirit that can cleanse you, fill you up, give you strength, hope, and joy. It can help you treat others that don't look like you or that may not have as much as you. It can help you treat them as Jesus would treat them if you'll just open your heart and your life to the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer for you this morning, that you'll embrace God's growth in your life, that you'll embrace the fullness, that you'll embrace freedom, the freedom to worship, the freedom to do, and to be led by the Spirit, and that you'll embrace your leaders. Serve under authority, serve in the arena that God has you in, and just watch God bless you. That's my challenge to you this morning. Bow your head and close your eyes.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, @truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.